Welcome to the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour, a transmission arts program for Wave Farm, heard every fifth Saturday on WGXC. I'm Sam Sebrin, producer of the program. This episode is about heroin. Heroin use is on the rise in suburban and rural areas in America, as well as in cities around the world. Let's listen.
I lost my son, John, to a heroin overdose.
Probably worse out in the suburbs now than it is in the inner city.
It's 2013, and we are sitting here talking about heroin and heroin addiction. I think most people thought heroin went away.
Yeah, that would be a misconception.
While the number of heroin users in America has skyrocketed, up a staggering 75%.
The most rapid growth is occurring among those under age 21. That's the fastest growing group. It's nationwide and it's occurring primarily outside of the central city, in the suburbs and in rural areas.
Middle class America?
Middle class America, affluent America.
Because it felt so good.
That you didn't care.
It felt too good to worry about the consequences.
Yeah. You don't see the consequences for a while, like sometimes till you're like the point of no return almost.
It's not just a parent problem, it is a community problem.
If you want all your dreams to go down the toilet, use heroin. That's all I can basically say.
Another day, another drugs bust for Punjab police. The state is a major transit point for heroin, originating from Afghanistan into India via Pakistan. Teachers hope education will stop this generation from repeating the mistakes of their parents. But many of Punjab's addicts are young, unemployed, and frustrated by a lack of opportunities. Combined with the ready availability of hard street drugs, some fear an overall solution is a long way off.
I used to say, man, I never would use needles, and here I am today, you know. I went to a methadone clinic for a while. It just didn't work for me.
Heroin.
What are you injecting?
Heroin or crack, whatever.
Heroin use is huge right now with drug users. It's really available, and it's really inexpensive.
Heroin today is about $30 cheaper than it was about 5 years ago. You can get very high on heroin, much cheaper than you could get drunk on booze.
Just in this year alone, we've sent out two advisories cautioning people about a significant spike we've seen in overdoses and the deaths related to them. We did that in February and we had to do it again in May. Addicts are turning to heroin to replace Oxycontin that they can't get.
The number of heroin users has nearly doubled in just the past 3 years. Even more surprising may be the face of the new addicts.
The idea that heroin addiction is reserved for the inner city is wrong, as you'll see.
How long did it take for you to go from sampling it to being hooked?
Not very long at all.
She soon dropped out of college, quit her job, and began the life of a full-time junkie. Instead of 2 years of college under his belt, he has three stints in rehab, paid for by his grandparents. He doesn't have a job, and his parents unwittingly fund his habit, wiring up to $100 a week, thinking it's for food.
Authorities say heroin use is on the rise in our state, with a noticeable spike in rural areas.
So you're seeing it more in the bigger cities, but it does have a trickle-down effect.
As doctors and police crack down on prescription drug abuse, addicts go straight for the hard stuff.
Talk to people that are addicted to prescription drugs and says if they can't get their prescription drugs, they are going to go and get the heroin.
Says addicts and dealers seem to think they're less likely to get caught if they're doing their deed out in the country.
Especially when the suburban population is used to taking the prescription forms of opiates, and healthcare has been such an issue. So they wind up trying to service that need through what's available on the street.
The suburbs are the new face of poverty. Most people do still live in the cities who are poor. But over the past decade, as Brookings has documented, the rate of poverty has risen twice as quickly in the suburbs.
The prescription opiates have been a gateway. Now that there's a big crackdown on the prescription mills, people who are getting prescription opioids and can't get them anymore are going to heroin because there's nothing else available.
Yeah. It's everywhere.
In fact, I don't believe so much in the gateway theory, but I do believe one gateway drug is the painkiller, prescription painkillers. They're opiate-based drugs. Kids can get those in most of the medicine cabinets in our country.
Afghanistan, Burma, and Colombia produce most of the world's heroin. The United Nations estimates there are 8 million addicts worldwide.
Once they become addicted, they now have to chase the drug. They start doing things that they said they'd never do. They're stealing from their parents. They're stealing from their neighbors. They're prostituting themselves.
For those who reported using it in just the past year, their numbers jumped from 404,000 in 2002 to 620,000 in 2011, an increase of 53%, cheaper and easier to obtain than prescription opioids. But health officials are worried that pain pill addiction is feeding the new wave of heroin use. That's the short answer.
Decades of war in Afghanistan have brought many consequences, including the onset of the world's biggest heroin industry. And with the amount of land under opium cultivation always on the rise, it's also affecting neighboring Pakistan, where it's now sometimes easier to get high than get fed.
Afghanistan is the world's largest producer of opium, heroin's main ingredient, and it accounts for 90% of the global supply. Roughly 40% of it is smuggled through Pakistan. It's a multi-billion dollar industry fueled by years of war and instability. Opium production is up for the third year in a row and is predicted to grow even further.
The Afghan drug trade is the elephant in the room.
Straight to the heart from the heroin heartland of Afghanistan, a casualty of the poison spreading from the war zone next door.
Getting high off prescription drugs. It's a growing trend here in the capital region and all across the country.
For a while, I'd say I was probably able to hide it.
It consumes everything. You don't care about anything else. You wake up in the morning and that's the first thing you think about is, how am I going to keep from withdrawing today?
It can happen to anybody.
Make sure parents get real and realize it is out there.
I would say that this is an epidemic.
I've been to a total of 11, 12, 13 funerals.
Like, it's weird talking about, but it's like the best feeling I've ever had in my whole entire life. And that's when the heroin took my life over.
It seems unstoppable in some ways because people that wouldn't normally try it now try it because it's cheap and then they just can't get off of it.
According to the Regional Crime Lab, the dope surge started back in 2008.
It doesn't discriminate location or age and certainly is becoming more and more popular with the younger users.
Dubai police seized 52 kilograms of heroin valued at 4 million dirhams hidden in boxes of oranges. The police arrested four Pakistanis who were trying to smuggle the contraband for further shipment to Africa.
Less than 10% make it to American cities. Most of the Afghan heroin makes it to West and Central Europe, including Russia. A lot of people that could not afford Oxycontin or oxycodone medications are resorting to heroin. Why? Because it's a lot cheaper.
Opium production is one of the major funding sources for the Taliban.
And we are told the DEA is embedded in Afghanistan. Special agents are over there trying to burn the poppy fields.
In the Salt Lake Valley, the average age is young adults, 16 to 23 years old.
It's easier than finding someone to buy you alcohol. It's easier than finding weed. It's easier than getting someone to buy you a pack of cigarettes.
Heroin in the 1970s was about 3% pure. Today, it's around 60%.
In recent months, we've been telling you about a growing heroin problem in the quiet suburbs of America.
At a town hall meeting in Stanwood, a suburb outside of Seattle, a startling revelation. Close to 50 students at one high school are now being treated for heroin addiction. Provo, Utah, Overland Park, Kansas, even rural Wisconsin reporting a record number of overdoses.
But in the last 24 months, we've been severely impacted by heroin, the use and abuse of heroin. This is a community problem which needs a community response.
The impact of drug sale and addiction in our community is easy to see, and heroin in particular. Residents see it, teachers, medical professionals, police, children, everyone. The cost to our community has been great. The jail is full of people who are there because substance abuse or sale of some substance caused them to commit a crime, either while under the influence or to sustain a habit. Wausau has many of the problems that we used to think were big city problems, but we all must work together to stare down this monster known as heroin.
The more I looked into it, the more I learned it was happening to my friends and neighbors, to their kids. This issue is hitting small towns like mine. It's hitting wealthy families. It's hitting poor families. It's hitting middle-class families. So this is not a drug that is discriminating. It doesn't care whether you're a Republican, doesn't care if you're a Democrat.
And it's happening in the city and the suburbs. The culprit, they say, is prescription painkillers. A majority of addicts were first on painkillers but switched to heroin because it provides the same effect at a much cheaper price.
Lorain County Alcohol and Drug Abuse Services has also seen a spike in heroin overdose.
Once the heroin got a hold of him, that was it. And then on July 2nd of this year, he passed away in his bed.
So hard, just physically and mentally, what this shit does to you is it's like the devil.
The heroin epidemic is Northern Kentucky's health scourge. There are no easy answers.
Heroin overdose deaths statewide have increased 550% between 2011 and 2012.
The plan also calls for the creation of programs within schools to prevent future heroin addicts.
They say the heroin alone could be worth between $2 and $4 million.
We believe that this was a metro-wide distribution network. It's a staggering amount of heroin.
Now that incident comes the day after a big heroin drug bust in Washera County.
If my brother ended up getting into heroin, it really messed up our whole family.
It's with my son. He's 22 years old. He started when he was probably 17, 18 years old. It pretty much tore the family apart. The trust completely gone.
I'm against heroin 100%. My daughter is a heroin addict. She's on her fourth rehab right now. She's stolen everything from us that we could possibly own. I had to finally give up trying to help her so she can help herself.
But I didn't know to the degree until he was busted by the law with heroin.
We don't know for sure. He died of acute heroin intoxication is all we know for sure.
I mean, it's rough on not only the person that does it, but the entire family.
There is an explosion of heroin in the suburbs.
Does this look like a heroin addict to you?
So many people sugarcoat it or died unexpectedly. I mean, as hard as it is to face, our son died in a flea bag hotel of a heroin overdose, and that's the way it was.
For every OD that we know of, you know that there are 10 that go unreported.
It's too easy of a buzz for kids to get. It's cheaper than a six-pack, so they can't get their hands on alcohol when you're under 18, but you can sure get a good cap of heroin.
According to police, he had 94 grams of crack cocaine and 362 bags of heroin on him.
It is happening here, and if you don't believe it is, you're wrong.
Got hooked instantly.
I honestly don't think my parents really knew up until I told them.
I knew telling my mom would kill her.
John and Kara were lucky. They had insurance that covered the costly rehab.
Heroin use in the capital region is really turning into a plague, some say.
For the last 10 years, probably in all major cities and minor cities and rural areas, you know, just everywhere.
Because it's so cheap?
Yes. And then once they no longer have access to the pain medication, then they, you know, take to the street drugs.
You know, I think it's directly attributed to, you know, the high level of prescriptions that are being handed out. One in three Americans are being issued prescriptions for opiate-based painkillers.
In rural areas, heroin can go for about double what it would in Albany.
Really, we got to put a dent in it, and by just filling jails with local users it's not going to solve the problem. We need to have a heavy hit, and we need to have it soon.
And local police tell our fact finders that they've seen an uptick in heroin cases in this area. They say cheaper cost and more availability, part of the big problem. Police say the men died from a drug overdose due to heroin.
I didn't realize how big drugs was in this community.
A Saratoga County man now facing drug charges after police say he locked himself in his steward's bathroom so he could shoot up heroin.
Listening to the Nothing Is Real radio hour, and this is a special episode called Junkie Talk. Now we're going to hear a series of actual answering machine messages featuring Pete, who is in his 50s and has been using heroin for over 35 years. We'll also hear his elderly mother and various social workers. Heroin tore this family apart and left Pete's elderly retired parents penniless in a trailer that eventually went into foreclosure. Pete lived in the trailer with his parents up until his father died and his mother was moved to a nursing home, where Pete now goes to get meals. Let's listen to these real messages. Expletives have been edited. However, the story may not be suitable for small children.
Yeah, I speak. Give a call. Some lady Julie called. She was on the phone for a while. I don't know if you tried to call, but I don't know exactly what she wanted. But yeah, give a call. All right, bye.
Next message.
Listen, Ma, call back tonight. I have to tell you something. Call me. Bye.
Message.
Yeah, listen, this is Pete. Listen, I had to get grab a plate because there was really nothing here with the fucking microwave going. And I called the fucking taxi thing. I'm not gonna make it down there tomorrow. And fucking nobody's fucking calling me back. You know what? Everybody can go fuck themselves because I'm gonna fucking leave these doors wide open, and I'm fucking walking out in 20 fucking minutes if no one calls me back, and everybody go fuck themselves. What I should do is fucking light this fucking place on motherfucking fire, alright? Fucking call me back, assholes, tonight, now!
End of message. Next message.
What is up with you fucking people? Why aren't you fucking calling here? I don't get this shit. Are you fucking people sick or something? Let me tell you something. If I have to get down there tomorrow, I'll fucking do whatever I gotta do to get down there. I swear to Christ, and believe me, it's gonna really be fucking serious shit. Alright? This is gonna be a fucking war. Believe me when I tell you. And I got some nice fucking friends that would like to meet you. And I, as a matter of fact, you could talk to them, because like they're here right now. So if I don't get a call back, I might just let them say hi to you, because they miss you, and they just want to say hi. Like Papa, Chunga, whoever. You know, not even a fucking call back. And he acts like, what the fuck? You know, I'm trying to be fucking civil here, and fucking no one's calling me back. Some fucking lady keeps calling here, trying to get through to fucking her, to Mom. This is fucked up, and why the fucking microwave went? All I got in here was microwave fucking food. What the fuck good was that? Why not take that too? I mean, what the fuck am I gonna do with it? So, you know what? I have to make a decision if I'm gonna fucking eat or fucking go out and take the fucking bus. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Well, I could pawn the motherfucking TV set or a few other fucking items and I'll fucking get down there. So I strongly suggest somebody fucking give me a call back because you fucking do not fucking ignore me. That's the worst thing you could do. I'm telling you now, don't fuck with me. I'm telling you, don't do it. I'm fucking telling you, just don't do it. Just show a little fucking common sense respect. No one had to take the fucking car today. And if I went down by myself, I could have talked to fucking Kara, and this shit wouldn't have been going. But no, you had to go. Like a fucking well, you know what? Believe me, when I get through talking to them, which I'm sure they're gonna fucking come back and get it, I'll talk them out of fucking going up here. Because there's a lot of shit that I could throw on them that'll think tough on you, it'll make your fucking head spin. And as for fucking friends I got, let me tell you something. They may not fucking be able to give me a ride downtown, but they'll handle fucking saying hello for me. And when they say hello...
End of message. Next message.
It's Susan from Weicker Realtors. Just wanted to touch base with you. I just got a call from the manager over at the Mobile Home Park. So if you could give me a call,
You can reach me, let's give me a call at my home number. Thank you.
Next message.
Listen, this is Steve. Listen, I didn't make it down here today. It's fucking bad, and I told you what I would do if I didn't make it down. I wasn't fucking bullshitting. You better have them call your thoughts before I fucking get rid of every shit, too, alright? I'm just telling you now, it's not a good fucking scene. Have them call here. You better really do this because it's already a fucking mess, alright? So, I would have them call.
Next message.
Listen, the heating on this house. I'm going across the street to go to, what's her name's house. I talked to that German woman over there. I explained to them that no one's here. So I'm going to go over there. I'm going to get a ride downtown with him tomorrow. And that lady Julie called. I told her I didn't know where they were. So, I'm going to head over across the street. Leave a message. Bye.
Next message.
Listen, tell Mom I'm sorry, but I had to pawn some shit out of her room to get some fucking dope because there's no fucking car, no way to get downtown, and there's no way on the weekend either. So I had to do what I had to do. I told you I was going to do what I had to do. Don't be pissed at me. That's all I can say. I'm going across the street. Out.
Next message.
Listen, this is Pete. Listen, I had to stay over at Monica's last night because there was no heat on here. I don't know what's going on with this propane tank, and I can't figure it out, but I'm going to try to work on it today. But I missed 2 days of meds. I'm going to get kicked off the fucking program. I'm sick as a son of a bitch, and I'm telling you, if I miss another day, like tomorrow, whatever is I got in here that's not mine, because I don't have much, everything of mine, I already got rid of. But, I mean, I'll pawn the fucking TV, I'll pawn the paper shredder, any jewelry, any coins that I already got piled up in a fucking bag. So help me God, if I don't get a call back today, I'm going right to the pawn shop, and I'm going to do what I got to do. I got to do this because I got to get by. Either I'm going to get a fucking ride down using those rings and whatever jewelry and old coins there are, and the TV I can get with the Sharp TV. It's cable ready. I got somebody that's offering me like $110. I'll take that. I can get a bundle of dope if I have to. Or I could get a taxi ride because it's more than $20 because the guy has to wait. And they closed early yesterday. So by the fucking time I got down there taking the taxi, they were closed. Then it was so slow, the meter was running. When I got back here, all I had was $40. The fucking tab was $50-something. I had to fucking give the guy something of mine. And, I mean, I don't know what to say. Why no one's calling me back here? Why Mom ain't calling me back? But she's like, that was stupid to take the car and to not let me even go to the store myself. But what the fuck did you have to go downtown for? You know, I could have stopped the terrorists. All this shit could have been resolved. That was a low fucking blow. And let me tell you, now it is, you're saying it isn't personal? Well, now it is personal because I already put the word out. And they won't do nothing to Mom and Dad. But so help me God, man. I'll tell you right now, if I don't get it, I'm going to drop a dime tonight. And all I can say is, you're going to end up getting in serious fucking trouble with these people. These people do not play fucking games. You better have Mom call me. This is serious shit. If they don't...
End of message. Next message.
Oh, one more thing. The other thing is the house is in on the market no more. I took it off. I called the realtor that Susan, I got her number, and I called her, the people that she works for, from the sign out in front, and I said that there was a family emergency, and that they can't sell right now, and that, and it's only a 6-month contract that they had anyway. So the house is no longer on the market as of today. So I'm just letting you know that I did that on my own. And that's something, that's my business. That ain't has nothing to do with you anyway. That's between me and mom and dad, not you. And I'll tell you right now, this is so fucked up. Everybody in this park right now thinks you're a fucking asshole. That lady across the street, they're like, how the fuck can they leave you with no car, in the snow like this, the fucking heat not on? They said, why didn't you leave the car? Why, you guys did what, you took the fucking microwave? That's another fucking thing. I got no way to fucking get out of here to get fucking food. There's not enough food here. Nothing is working. The fucking gas is not working. I don't know why. And, you know, I have no way to cook. What the fuck am I supposed to do? And another thing, I want that piece of petrified fucking wood because Grandma in Pennsylvania gave that to me. That's another fucking thing. And the fucking everything that was in storage, let me just tell you, as it is right now, I don't give a fuck what you do. I'm calling right now and I hang up and you're going to have to deal with the fucking people, the New York chapter of LK. You take that any way you need, you want it. To me, it's a charitable organization, a youth organization, okay? But I'll tell you right now, I've been with them since 1983. Or 85, rather. So, like, I have fucking people at my beck and call because I do a lot of shit for them. I have so much of their shit underneath this trailer, so I could start a war. So, you know, as a favor to me, believe me, I already made a call. So, when they're not there, I said not to do anything while my mom and dad are there. And if they do anything, to just, and that's it. Other than that, I would have mom call here. Because if I'm not going to call them off, and they will be up there sometime in the middle of the night tonight, and they're going to give you a little fucking bit.
End of message. Next message.
Hey, Mom, how the hell am I supposed to make pancakes without no spatulas, no wire whisk, and no, there's nothing here to cook with. All the utensils are gone. There's no, like, not even those plastic things that you scoop the damn batter with. Like, I'm sitting there with a bowl of batter and no way to make pancakes. This is crazy. Call me tomorrow. All right, bye.
Next message.
Listen, this is Pete. I'm trying to get a hold of the mom so I can get Monica's number. I want to see if I can ask her husband if I can get a ride. I don't know if I should just fucking walk back over there. I don't know, man. Just have her give me a call. Bye.
Next message.
Yeah, listen, I don't know what time you guys, if you guys are coming tomorrow, if you're not, tomorrow's Monday. Listen, I called everybody I know, and, like, you know, after, like, Rick, he definitely can't make it tomorrow because he has school, and, that guy Mike had an accident, so I can't get a hold of him. Ebert has no gas, so I'm screwed with her. So I don't want to miss tomorrow, too, on top of it. You know what I'm saying? So if you get, at the end, tomorrow's a full day. They're open until 3:30. So keep that in mind. 3:30 in the afternoon. So that's like a lot of time. So if you, and you really should try to be back before lights were dark anyway if you plan on coming back tomorrow, which, you know, you gotta let me know. Alright, just let me know early in the morning, like real early, as soon as you get up, so I know what I'm doing. Or if you get the message, you know, call me, I'll be up anyway. But, just let me know, so I know exactly what to do, because if not, I gotta ask you, like, if there's any change, anything around. Maybe I'll have to take a bus, I'll have to walk over to the Cherry Hill parking lot. I don't know, but I can't miss another day, because I'm gonna get screwed with them down there, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get, like, infractions of the yin yang so long, I won't have bottles ever. Alright, bye.
Next message.
Mom, listen, call me by tomorrow morning when you get up so I know what I'm doing here. Because if you're not going to be able to make it, so I figured out one way I can get downtown. What I can do is I'm going to call Brent 911, right? Tell him that I had a seizure. Let him bring me down to Yale in the morning. Then when I get out of Yale, like, they'll probably check me out for a while. When I get out, I'll go over to the program, get medded. They can't hold me there. I'll get medded, and that's it. Other than that, there's not much else I could do. That's the only way I could do it, is just to do it like that, and then take a cab back, and then when the guy drops me off, Bob, he brought me off across near the car place, and I'll just cut through the car thing in the back, through the trip back to the trailer park. I'll leave the door unlocked and run in and shut it, because he can't come through the back way where the car thing is. Alright, that's the only thing I could think of. Alright? So call me. Bye.
Next message.
Hey, Ma, that lady, Monica, right? I told you, I think, she came over here yesterday. When Rick dropped me off, you know, he couldn't get out of the driveway, so he had to back out one way and then another. The tire tracks, because they look like, I guess, a W from my standpoint, from hers, it looked like an M. She comes banging on the door hard. She was pounding on the door. She's like, what's the matter? What are you mad at me for? I'm at the bar. I opened the door. I was like, are you fucking crazy, lady? I said, I'm in my underwear, I'm talking on the phone with somebody, and you're pounding on my door because of the tire tracks? I said, you're sick. I said, you better be a sick bitch. This lady's fucking nuts, I'm telling you. She better not come over here. I told her, I said, you better not come over here again. I said, I'll be eating cereal on the bottom of your fucking skull. Stalik? And she laughed. Because, you know, Stalik in German means, you know, well, whatever. Alright, I'll talk to you later. She's fucking up, this lady. I'm telling you, she thinks like I put a big W in the fucking snow on purpose. It's fucking snowing yesterday, raining here. That's all I got to do was go out there and make a W with a fucking car tire. What, is she crazy? Alright, call me later. Let me know if you got a hold of everybody. Bye. Try Rick, that's all I could think of, but...
Next message.
Listen, are you guys close enough for I'm gonna make it downtown by 3:30, or are you still in, forgot to ask where you guys are. I'm not sure what to do, like, what time. It's almost 2 now, they close at 3:30, what should I do? Just give me, have Mom or somebody that's not driving, call me back and let me know about what time you think. You know, because they close at 3:30. They open again at 3 to 3:30. All right, that way I kind of figure out what I'm doing. I still got an hour, over an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes. So let me know, all right? It's just, I got to know. Alright, thanks.
I appreciate
it. Alright, bye. Next message. Listen, I'm gonna call a
just got to get back this way.
Next message.
Yeah, Mom, I've been getting these weird calls all morning, man. Like, they're like 800 numbers. They're like asking for different people. I don't know what's going on. Maybe with the weather. I don't know if lines got messed up. Who the hell knows? Anyways, I was just trying to get a way to get downtown. All right, I'll talk to you later. All right, bye.
End of message.
I'm trying to figure out if I should take a cab and have you guys meet me downtown or what. Call me back.
My name is Shelly O'Brien. I work for Elderly Services. I just wanted to touch base with you because I visited your mom and dad earlier in the week, and I am working on getting some services coordinated. And I just want to touch base with you. I know there's been some discussion about maybe them relocating to be closer to you. I know the situation seems to be somewhat stressful there. So I guess I just wanted to get your sense of the situation from a...
This is your mother. I have a big problem. I have to talk with you. I need some money to pay some bills. I don't know what's happened. It's about 1:30 now. Please call me. I'm very, very aggravated. I got to straighten this out. Please help me. Bye. It's about 1:45 on a Saturday. If you get a chance, give me a call back. Okay? Take care. Bye. This is your mother. It's about noon on a Monday. It's very important that you call me. I have a lot of problems here, considering what you've done with the car registration and all that. That's wrong. That's wrong. You have to call me. I have a big problem. We got stuff from the social services involving his food stamps, Peter's food stamps, and now they're out around car registration, which has nothing to do with food. Now I don't have any more money that he used to get on a Saturday for his travel thing. He used to give it to me to go get my groceries. I don't have anything in this house to eat because he didn't get that check that he would give to me of $108 or whatever it was. Now I don't even have that. You have to call me. And worst comes to worst, and I'm considering putting the car in his name. This way there won't be any problem about him going downtown or anywhere with that car. Please call me. If you don't, we're going to have a big problem.
This is Marla Laomi over at the Senior Center. I think I talked to you once before when you were looking for assistance for energy for your parents. I just wanted to talk to you. Your mom was in this morning, and I've been in touch with Shelly, who you know from the state, and I just wanted to talk to you about her trailer. She seemed kind of confused about whether it was sold or not, and I'm just trying to figure that out so I know what I can do to help her. If you want to give me a call, my number is 382. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
It's Tuesday afternoon, around 2 o'clock, I believe. When you get a chance, just give me a call. A couple things I wanted to ask you. Your dad does have a permanent care manager assigned to him. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Meals on Wheels before I really go to bat here in terms of how they're doing. I talked to your mom over a week ago, but again, it was nothing really, you know, to talk about. I mean, we started with her going to the doctors and thinking about maybe going into the hospital, and I encouraged her to consider that and take a break and step back, and then it ended up back with Peter and not being able to leave him, and what would he do, and none of us understood how sick he was, so I don't know. So anyway, when you get a chance, 029. Thanks. Take care.
Oh, hi. This is Evelina. I'm on Evelina Area Agency on Aging. I just wanted to let you know what I will be presenting to your mother, that there's only two options that, you know, that she'll have to take, because it will be her that's making that decision. She will either have to find someone to move in with, make other arrangements for another living facility because the credit will always be a problem. And so, you know, and Shelly can only help with things like if they're going into a nursing home, which up on the list, you know. And I know they're not ready for that. The other thing is she will have to consider evicting Peter, which I know she won't do. But I just wanted to get back to you. I did meet with my brother and I have talked to Shelly, who's no longer officially involved with your mother. So just to give you an update on where I am. My number is Jill and Jane. Thanks. Bye.
It's about 10:30 in the morning. I'd appreciate you giving me a call because I have to really talk to you. I'm getting very confused with writing checks and so forth. I got to ask help. Something got to be done. I just can't do this anymore. I don't know why. I'm in bad shape. Please give me a call. Thanks. This is Mom. I just got back from where we ate with your check, which I thank you so much. I guess as I walked in the door, that super Shelly comes here, and she says, we have to be out of here by Friday. That's something, the person who put a deposit on this place is coming in here. Now, what am I supposed to do? Where am I going to go? I don't know what to do. Please call me. I don't care what time it is. Just call me, please. I'm so upset right now. Please give me a call. I don't care what time it is. Please. This is Mom. If you get a chance, give me a call, please. I got to double check on something.
Oh, good morning. This is Evelina, Area Agency on Aging. Anyway, I was trying to get back to you. I have case review for about 2 hours this morning at 9:30, so I wasn't going to be available. Then I'm going out to make a visit right after the interview. I wasn't going to be available until maybe 2 o'clock. I put in a call to Mr. Randy from the Social Service Department. He called me back yesterday. We missed each other. I just left him another message because he was talking about getting health involved to see if they could assist your brother. Because that seems to be the biggest piece of this, even though your parents still have to get out. I also offered them, thinking about assisted living, but it was going to be up in, and they said that was just too far, and I can't blame them for that. It's out of the rim of their territory. Plus, we're not sure whether there's any vacancies. They said it was a 3-month waiting list, but anyway, it was closer than anybody else we know. My number is 752 area. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Final messages for, this is Leslie calling from the Coumadin Clinic. The phone number is 4807. Just wanted to let you know that your father's Coumadin level came back low from last week. It was a 1.8. His usual goal should be between 2.0 and 3.0. I have his current Coumadin dose as being 2 milligrams or 1 tablet every day. For today, Monday, May 18th, I'd like him to take 3 milligrams or 1.5 tablets, and tomorrow he can go back to his usual dose of 2 milligrams or 1 tablet every day. I will also schedule a home blood draw for him for May 28th, which is a Thursday. Again, his level was low, a 1.8. Please have him take 3 milligrams or 1.5 tablets today on Monday, May 18th. And tomorrow, he can go back to his usual dose of 2 milligrams or 1 tablet every day. If you have any questions, feel free to call us back. Thank you.
It's about 1:30 in the afternoon. I called because, I don't know, I'm very confused about what we had to do today or whatever. If you get a chance, please call me. I'll try the other number, too, to see if, God, I don't know which one I dialed now. I'm going to try to, you know, get some information from you because I'm a total blank on what we discussed or what we were supposed to do, the lawyer and whatnot. Please call me or leave a message. I'll try your other line first, okay? Please call me. Bye.
Yeah, this is I'd like to speak to ask a question about making find the paper, and nobody seems to know what about the refrigerator.
out in the top, and I wasn't here. All right, bye. This is Cheater. Listen, you gotta call here, because there's a problem here. Remember yesterday we were at the lawyer's office? Like, you kept asking me, and he kept asking me why I didn't call about the Adler Center. Well, the whole thing is that she doesn't want to go, okay? I can't make her go. It's her life, not mine, not yours. And she said she doesn't want to go. All right? That's number one. Number two, I tell my counselors, hey, hold up. This is Pete. Listen, this is an emergency. Please call me. It has to do with Dad. He's hallucinating, he's delusional. He said that people came in the house when we were out, that it was like the landlady. I asked and it wasn't, I asked him.
End of final message. Memory full.
Hello, this is Evelyn. Could you give me a chance when you have an opportunity? I got a call from the nurse last week. I'm sure you must have heard from her because she said she was going to call you also. And I said I would follow up because she has a concern with your mother's growing memory issue, and now appointments are being forgotten. It would be different if they allow some services to come in there so maybe somebody could remind them. But with your brother there, that creates another issue. So could you give me a call when you have an opportunity? Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
This is Mom. I don't know if you're home yet, but if you get a chance, you got to give me a call. I want to find out, like, something you said about having bugs or anything. I brush my hair every day in the tub, and there are no bugs in my head. And today, something was said you said something about someone's coming to spray in here. Well, there's nothing to spray because we have no bugs. And who said this in the first place? I'd like to know. Please give me a call. I'll be up for a while. If you didn't get home yet, please give me a call because I'm very upset about this. And your father now, from what I understand, or you said, that he had bugs in his head. Well, maybe they have the bugs because I got news for you. I brush my hair every morning in the tub, and I have no bugs, and neither does Peter. Now, I want to find out where you got this bright idea. Give me a call. I don't care what time it is, because I'm very upset about this. I don't think that's right at all, because I have no bugs. I brush my hair in the tub every single morning, and I have no bugs in my hair. That's what I mean. Your father had bugs. You had to get them from the CBA.
That's
all I know. When you get a chance, give me a call. This is Mom. I just, thought I'd check with you and see what's going on your end. A few questions, a few things to figure out what's going on with your father. I don't understand why they had somebody guarding at the door. I don't understand that. Well, anyway, when you get a chance, give me a call. I'm going to try and take a ride up there to see him later. Okay, bye. Next message.
Hi, this is Donna Doris. I'm one of the inpatient social workers currently working with your father. I was hoping you could give me a call so that we can discuss his discharge plan. My phone number is 5711, extension 2805. Thank you.
Next message. This is Mom. Tuesday the 3rd of November. I'm going to take a run up now to the hospital to see what's going on. I didn't get to go yesterday because I didn't feel good. I was throwing up and all. I feel a little better today. I'm going to take a run up and see what's going on. On your end, I don't know. When I come back, I'll try to give you another call because I'll be up there for probably at least an hour or so, if not more. I want to check and see what's going on. When you get a chance, you can I'll try to get back to you when I get back, or you can leave me a message. What looked into or anything. But I'd appreciate, you know, knowing what you know on your end. Like I said, right now I don't feel that great because I was throwing up and everything. Yesterday I was really upset. I'd appreciate you giving me a call, even if you just leave a message. And then when I come back, I'll give you a call. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Next message.
Listen, I don't know what the fuck you're doing with this thing for the aging, but I'm the one looking after Dad. You weren't around. You didn't fucking give a fuck, all right? I fucking took care of him. I gave him his meds. Taylor gave me that job, okay? I don't know who this person was that came in today, and I don't know what gave you the right to fucking call them, okay? He said, I'm not on the fucking list. Well, Mom wants to play that way. She wants to do shit behind my back with you. You know what? Go fuck yourselves, because I'll take my food card, my money, and I'm going to go to fucking sue myself with my lawyer because I have that fucking thing on tape where he came at me with the knives. It was a cell phone that takes moving pictures, plus I have my own thing, okay? Dan came, he grabbed Dan and tried to fucking choke him. I said, Dan, don't hurt him. I'll get him off you. I protected him. I could have had him arrested for attempted murder. And I got the proof on a fucking chip that you can put into any fucking computer. I want to know what the fuck is going on and why. Because if you think that this is that you're going to drag me down about what happened with him, you're sadly fucking mistaken, brother. Let me tell you, people know where you live, okay? First of all, I'll press charges. You left LSD on the floor where I got into it, okay? I'm sure they're going to love that. And I could subpoena, I already talked to Kevin, Peepton, they fucking know a lot about you. Let me tell you, Mom doesn't know what I know, okay? But I'll tell you one thing, other people do, and you know what? They'll come to court, because I already talked to them. Plus, I got a person that'll fucking perjure if he had to fucking make a point. But I said, no, don't. Just tell them the truth. What you see me do here, all the fucking money I spend on fucking food for them, and the food you bought, half of it got thrown fucking out. Because we don't have an oven to cook chicken, okay? You don't fucking live here. This lady comes in, I have been sick. He had me up for 5 fucking days. And as for Mom getting a ride home, fuck you, man. I'll tell you, whatever it is, those people just heard a fucking thing. And I'm sure they'll be in touch. I told them, I said, well, she walked in, I had TB, airborne. I said, I got it bad. I just found out. I said, he took
end of message. Next message.
I left the message.
You did?
Yeah, I told you.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
So now what?
Well,
what's the number you have? I don't know. End of message. Next message.
This is your mother. It's about 5 minutes or 10 minutes to 7. I just got back from the hospital to see your father. I don't understand. I come back and Peter's all upset with people saying that he can't call or whatever. All I know is please give me a call so I can find out what's going on. I'm terribly upset. And they said that whoever you talk to said he needs permission to call. Call who? Oh. Please give me a call. I'm very, very upset. Please call me. Please.
End of message. Next message.
This is Mom. Please, you gotta do me a favor. Please. You have to take... You can't keep... I'm so mixed up. They just called me from the VA. Your father's crying. He wants me there. But you can't tell them about... I want him home, and I understand he could come home, but you're making it hard by saying what's happening here with Peter and all that. But I got news for you. That's going to stop.
Either that or I'll throw him out. I can't do this. He wants me there, and I want to be with him. Why are you telling these people this? I want him home. Please do something. Please call up and tell him that he can come home. It won't, nothing won't happen. I'll make sure of that. Please don't do this to me. Please do this for me, please. It's hard for me to go back and forth and the gas and everything. At least if I had him home, he'd be in his own bed, we could eat together, and there won't be no problem. I'll make sure of that. Please, please help me. Please call and tell them that he should come home. Please. I'll tell you, if you don't do this to me, I'll kill myself, so help me. God, I will. Please, let him come home.
End of message. Next message.
His mom, it's about 7:30.
Think, let me see.
Yeah. No, not even. It's 25 or 7. I just got back from the VA. I was been up there for quite a while. He was sitting up. I was sitting up having something to eat to help him get back into bed. If you get a chance, would you give me a call, either tomorrow or later on? I should be up. Okay? Okay, bye.
I'm calling regarding your dad's Title 19. I spoke to Donna, and she said you had a question about the bank statements, and also that you left something for her on 4 West, and I just wanted to know who you gave that something to that you left second.
You've been listening to a special edition of the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour called Junkie Talk, broadcasting from the Wave Farm. We heard actual phone messages from a decades-long junkie, Pete, along with messages from his mother and social workers. We also heard a collage of news clips from the past 3 years about the rise in heroin use around the world. This is Sam Seaborn. Thanks for listening.
If you want to ride, don't ride the white horse. If you want to ride, don't ride the white horse. White horse, don't ride the white horse.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.